Okay? Okay. Bang, bang. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the regular meeting of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, La Hawton Region. My name is Pete Pumphrey. I'm from Bishop, and I'm the chairman. I want to thank the members of the public for coming to our meeting. We do a better job when you participate in the issues that come before us. At this time, I would like to introduce the other members of the regional board. Don Jardine from Markleyville, Keith Dias from Rosamond, and Eric Sandell from Truckee. Dr. Amy Horn, who's also a board member, cannot join us today. The executive officer of the agency is Patty Koyumjin. Would you please introduce the staff who are with us today?
Thank you, Chairman. I'd be happy to. Good afternoon, everyone. With us today from the La Hawton Regional Board are Lori Kemper in the first row, our assistant executive officer, our three division managers, Mike Plasiak from our Victorville office, Chuck Curtis, and Doug Smith, both from our Tahoe office. Tim Niemeyer is to my left, there you go, who is our staff counsel for the region. Sue Gennaro is also to my left, and she's the individual you would give the cards if you'd like to speak before the board. Richard Booth is in the audience. Jay Cass from our Victorville office. Tricia Copeland. Mike Cooney. And Jan Zimmerman. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The regional board will be considering many items during this meeting. Although we must use our time wisely, we encourage your input on any item so that our decisions will be based on all the available information. If you wish to speak on any agenda item, please fill out an orange card and there at the back of the room, indicating which item you wish to address and how many minutes you need. And then give those to Sue and she'll make sure that they get where they need to go. Although we do not administer an oath in most proceedings before this board, we expect all statements made before the board to be truthful, with no attempts to mislead by false statements, deceptive presentation, or failure to include essential information. We also ask that you obey our ground rules, which are treat everyone with respect. This includes board members, board staff, anyone who testifies, and your fellow citizens. This means no personal attacks and no violent, contemptuous, or disruptive behavior. In the interest of everyone's time, please communicate your ideas clearly and efficiently. So that we can develop an accurate administrative record, we ask that you speak only after you are recognized. At that time, please come to the lectern and speak to the agenda item. If you do not follow these rules or become repetitious, I may ask you to sit down. Any person aggrieved by an action or inaction of the regional board, including but not limited to the issuance, modification, or rejection of waste discharge requirements, administrative civil liability, or a cease and desist order, may petition the State Water Resources Control Board to review the decision. The State Board must receive the petition within 30 days of the Regional Board's meeting at which the action was taken. Board staff will provide you with copies of the regulations about filing petitions if you request them. They are also available on the State Water Resources Control Board website. Before we begin with our agenda this afternoon, it is with profound sadness that I announce the passing of Jack Clark, who was a member of the La Hawton Board since 1996. He was extraordinarily dedicated to the board and its work and its objectives. He was determined to make sure that not only he, but all of us did the best job that we could on behalf of our communities, on behalf of the landscape in the region. And he will be sorely missed. I have not been on the board. I've only been on the board for 2 years. And one of my resolutions for this year was, for even for last year now that I think of it, was to get to know Jack better, because he seemed to be such an extraordinarily interesting, knowledgeable, and engaging person. I could not see that resolution through, and it makes me very mindful of the idea that the things we think that we can do in the future are not so guaranteed to us. So we are sorely, sorely going to miss Jack. He was an inspiration to us all. I can only hope I learned some of what I could have from my presence with him. At some point in the future, the board plans to have a ceremony with Jack's family to acknowledge our sadness and our support of them at their time of loss. I wonder if any of the other board members might have some comments. Mr. Sandell?
I don't have a lot to say now. I'm looking forward to what we come up with Jack's family. I served on the board with Jack. I started just before Jack. And he served as chair longer, I believe, than anybody else, at least to my knowledge, on the board. The thing that always impressed me was his pretty much unfailing patience and fairness in chairing some very difficult meetings, the likes of which we haven't seen recently. The antics that went on in some of those meetings were extraordinary. And he always came through it with, not necessarily with a smile, but even temper. So he is greatly missed.
Mr. Dias?
I always found Jack to be very optimistic and encouraging, and that was especially valuable to me when I was a new board member. Jack was a natural leader, and he always made each of his team members feel valuable and that we were contributing. Thank you.
Mr. Jardine?
I have to share all my co-workers, co-board members, your feelings, his profound knowledge, his depth of knowledge, his caring, the difficult meetings that he chaired. It was a blessing to me to have known him.
And I know Dr. Horn has sent some thoughts.
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to read some thoughts from Dr. Horn, who could not be here. I am with you in spirit, if not person, to share in the memory of Jack Clark. When I first came to the board almost 10 years ago, Jack was already one of its most senior members. I have always enjoyed our tradition of eating dinner together, but more so now because it allowed me to know more sides of Jack than just his approach to water quality issues. To me, Jack's most distinguishing feature was the size of his heart. He cared deeply about so many things. He defended water quality, especially for the people living in the Mojave region. He loved serving on the regional board and representing us at state water board meetings, large and small. He protected board staff in ways we will never know. He saw quickly how issues could be resolved and had no patience for bureaucracy. He wanted all efforts to yield results on the ground, and his favorite saying was, "Let's get her done." Of course, Jack's caring extended beyond water issues to his family. He called his grandson he raised my boy and spoke of him with great pride. Jack was steadfastly courageous and optimistic in the face of his illness, amazingly so. I wish he had more time to enjoy his retirement and good health on his boat in Lake Havasu. I will miss him dearly. Amy.
Thank you. Thank you all. May we all do justice to Jack and his memory as we go forward. Item one on the agenda are the minutes of the February 14th, 2013 meeting. Are there any comments, questions, or clarifications of those minutes?
I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Item 2 on the agenda is the Executive Officer's Report.
Good afternoon, Chairman Pumphrey and board members. I am Patty Kuyumjon, your Executive Officer. I would like to update you on a few items of interest. As each month, a written report of key regional board activities is included in your packet, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have regarding those items. I'd like to start out by congratulating Rebecca Phillips from our Victorville office, who has just received a promotion to a staff services analyst. Rebecca will take on a new role of tracking, performing analyses, and reviewing performance targets for our key databases, CWIX, SMARTS, and GeoTracker. I know that's a mouthful. You're going to hear more about that on Thursday, but the key role that these databases play in our program management. Rebecca will be a great asset to this effort. She'll also administer our laboratory services contract, which is very important to our regional board as well. So we're very pleased for her promotion, and the region as a whole will benefit from that. I also want to remind the board members and the public of two key dates involving the PG&E compressor station cleanup in Hinckley. First, we have scheduled a public meeting for tomorrow in Hinckley at the elementary school, and that's from 6 to 8 in the evening. The purpose of that meeting is to present preliminary findings of the manganese working group regarding high levels of manganese found in certain domestic wells. As you know, our technical groups have been working over the last few months to try to figure out what's wrong with the manganese in the community, so we're going to report out to the community what we found and answer questions and perhaps lay a path out going forward. Also, we'll share with the community the two work plans that they have submitted from PG&E to us. One is on manganese. The second one is on plume delineation. Again, there's a high interest of the community, so we hope to walk them through that and answer questions. I also wanted to mention that airing tonight on PBS will be a first of two-part story on chromium and cleanup. PG&E will be part of the focus of tonight's discussion. A lot of it will be on the US EPA standard setting for chrome in drinking water, as well as what we do here in California. And some controversy involved with that. That was my prior career at Cal-EPA dealing with something called the Voronoff study and the information that came out of that. So, but as Lori reports, who saw the report, we were shown in a good light as a region board, so that's good. As you recall from my last executive director's report, PG&E has filed a petition with the State Water Board on the plume delineation order that I signed. In addition, I've received letters from PG&E asking for some adjustments to the whole house replacement order, and I am seeking public comment on those requests from PG&E, and they are due to me March 20th. And when I get those, we hope to look at all the material that has been submitted and then hopefully make a decision or judgment soon thereafter. I'm now going to switch gears a little bit to the northern part of the state. I have an update involving Lake Tahoe. Last month, the board, as you recall, approved a resolution recommending that the State Water Board approve the 208 water quality plan. I wanted the board to know that this item will go before the State Board for consideration in May. Last month, we had hoped it would be in April, but it will be postponed 1 month till May. And we as staff will be, of course, assisting the State Board, as regional boards do, in staffing the item, working on CEQA parts of it, and Kim and others are very deeply involved in that. I also have some good news to report on cross-agency collaboration, and I need to thank Doug Smith and Doug Cushman for a lot of this work, and Lori Kemper as well, who helped me with all this. We've been having some meetings with the U.S. Forest Service, particularly with Forester Barney Gant, and our various staffs. We're exploring ways how we can increase efficiencies between the two agencies and improve our communication, work better as a team in solving some of our problems. At the end of the day, if we improve our efficiencies and collaboration with our agencies, we're definitely going to improve our water quality protections. It's been one of my priorities to improve our relationships and form partnerships with other agencies. And we hope to work with the other 9 regional forest units. I've been spending considerable time, as have our staff, with LTBMU, the Lake Tahoe unit, working on fuel direction efforts. And as you know, we've had our differences over the years. We're focusing on better CEQA, NEPA documents, joint documents, so that we could work together and perhaps do them as one document, instead of 2 separate ones. We're going to have some focused training sessions between the two agencies. If we prepare joint documents, we're going to save and shave down review time. The project will move a lot faster, and we're going to protect water quality a whole lot better because of this. The second area where we're focusing on is the differences between state and federal water quality requirements. We'll be providing training and information about California-specific water quality requirements, including monitoring. They're often more stringent or prescriptive than the federal rules. It has been my observation that the CEQA, NEPA, and differing state-federal requirements are probably the 2 main cruxes of our disagreements between the agencies and our conflict. If we can work through these issues, I think, on a good path forward, I think that we'll all benefit from that. So I thank everyone, Lori and Doug's, and the 2 Doug's, for their work on that. The last part I want to talk to you is I'm going to give you a very brief excerpt of a PowerPoint presentation. I was asked, with all the other regional boards, to come before the state board on March 5th. The state board is looking at salt nutrient management plans across the state board, which is a priority for the state board in our region as well. So I joined the 8 regional boards to give a short presentation. The state board wanted to know, what is happening in each regional board? What are your problems? Where are you in these salt nutrient management plans? And what are some challenges you face going forward? So I'm not going to give you the whole presentation, but I'm going to give you just a few key slides out of that as an excerpt. There we go. We have 345 groundwater basins in our region, which is something I didn't know going into this. And having hearing the other regional boards, we have a lot more than anyone else. We are focusing on 12 priority groundwater basins. These are those basins where basically most of our population base is, most of our problems are, but then again, most of our opportunities are there as well. So all these requirements for the salt nutrient management plan strategy is a result of the board's statewide policy on recycled water use. And so we're focusing, as you can see, on the 12 priority basins, but there are 333 other basins that we're going to have to address in some form. Now, some of those are not going to be problems, or they're in remote areas, or there's not a lot of population there, or there's not a local government that wants to help prepare a plan. And I think we're probably going to go through a tiered approach as staff and focus on the ones I think that we can make a difference on and perhaps not work so much on the other ones. This is not Region 1, but the North Coast has similar problems that we do in that area. The plans are due May, as you can see, 2014, but we're going to be giving an extension to 2016, and then we'll have 1 year to consider a basin plan amendment. But for the bulk of those 333, we'll still probably, we probably won't be preparing plans for this. It's just not practical. So who are these? We really work with 6 major integrated regional management planning agencies, and these are the various 12 that they're going to work on. I have good news to report on this, in that roughly 10 of the 12 plans are well underway, meaning they're in the planning stages, meaning we've received some grants for those, and they're on a good path forward to getting completed. So in Lahontan Basin, which is the local group we're working with, that's Honey Lake, they have received a grant already. Tahoe Sierra, which covers both the Truckee Martis Creek area as well as the Tahoe area in general, also has received a grant and is on the way forward. Inyo Mono is covering both Owens and Indian Wells. We're still working on trying to form an Owens group. Cindy Wise, our staff, is working with the locals to try to see if we do that. Fremont Valley is another area that covers Tehachapi's, and we also need a little bit more work. Those are the two areas I think we need a little work, is Tehachapi and the Owens, when I mentioned the 10 of the 12. Antelope Valley and Mojave are our two bigger ones, and where they are well underway. And Mojave, you will recall, received a set from the board from enforcement action that has helped them greatly move forward in terms of preparing the salt nutrient management plans. So what are some challenges that we face as the regional board in dealing with these? One is dedicated staff funding. These are activities that we don't have direct funding for, so we're doing the best we can with the limited staff that we have to help reach out to these local governments and work with them. The next one is implementation, because what I'm talking about right here is mostly the part of making the plan. The hard work, as we all know, is implementing the plan and enforcing it. So that's going to require some work going forward, and we need to think our way through that. And future funding for the local governments. You know, the money is pretty much dry in the bond, so we're hoping another water bond will come along and include funding for this, and I certainly will be advocating for that to the state board, that we make sure we put money aside for that. Then you heard me mention a little bit earlier the other 333 basins and the complexities with that. And that we have disadvantaged small communities in our region, and they will need additional help, and this is not so easy for them to do all of this. The state board adopted a report to the legislature on nitrates, and we're hoping part of that is funding that will come out of those recommendations, so we remain hopeful that there'll be perhaps out of that process, it will still be before the legislature, that maybe some funding will come out of that process too. So anyways, those are that's a bit of summary, and these are all the issues I wanted to cover for you today in the executive officer's report, unless you have any questions.
Are there any questions, Mr. Sandel?
No, thank you.
Mr. Dias?
No, thank you.
Mr. Jardine?
No.
Right, thank you.
I have no questions. I don't know what to say about Inyo County, so. Item 3 on the agenda is titled Public Hearing, Consider